Invite you to turn to John chapter 17, as we'll be picking up in the middle here of Jesus' prayer with his disciples during the Last Supper. This is part of a longer section where Jesus is spending time with them, his last time speaking with them before his crucifixion and resurrection. And Jesus, of course, knows that he's going to be with his Father in heaven, so he prays for his disciples and prays for us that we would be empowered by the Father. John 17, beginning in verse 14. Jesus prays, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." May God bless the reading, hearing, and teaching of this, his holy word. Let's say you're speaking to someone and you want to make sure that they get it. You want to make sure that it's really impressed upon them what you're saying. This is something of high value, very important to you that they get it. Don't you end your time with prayer? Don't you do that realizing that really my words don't have any power, but I know that God has power, that he can make my words effective in your life, that he can, by his Spirit, seal this on you, that he can impress upon you its importance and make it happen. My words don't have any power. So just from the sake of seeing Jesus in his perfect humanity here, see that we have this long prayer from Jesus, that even in his humanity, he's perfectly depending on the Father. So that from the very beginning, you see how important Jesus' words here, of course all his words are, but him giving a prayer on behalf of his disciples, on behalf of us. And what does Jesus mean to do? He means to show us who we are, and then out of that, what flows out of us, who God means us to be. Okay, so let's look. There's an outline there in your bulletin. First, who we are, the called out ones. Verse 17 and 19, set them apart. Sanctify them. I set them apart for holy service, just as Jesus himself is set apart. Okay. You know, the word ecclesiastical, it refers to church matters, comes from the word ecclesia. That's the word church. And it means the called out ones. Okay? That we are in the world, yes, but we are not of the world. That we are called out from the world. We're different. And then, of course, you will be hated. You will be hated because you are different. And so then, therefore, Jesus prays for his disciples' protection, for our protection, to be protected from the evil one, from evil, because what does evil love to do? Evil loves to remind you that you are hated so that you will be tempted to compromise. You will be tempted to fudge just a little bit on the truth. Okay? Because nobody likes to be hated. Who wants to be hated? But if I can just show that I'm a loving person and well, that little matter that in God's word, I can just ignore that little part. Or I can let them get, you see where it goes, compromise. But we are called out, of course, and different in order to be sent out to make a difference, right? You are set apart then, sanctified, in order to be sent out. So you're the called out ones, and you are the sent ones. You are sent. Look at verse 18. Okay, and notice, of course, it's right there sandwiched between 17, 19, being sanctified, being set apart. You are sent. Wherever you are, that is where you have been sent. I mean your geography, your neighborhood, your classroom, your workplace, your family, wherever you are, that's where God has sent you. Okay. To do what? To show off the love of God. Look at verse 23. Know then that so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. We are sent out into the world to demonstrate that we are God's people, that we are beloved by Him. And how do you show off the love of God? Okay, yes, now we're getting somewhere. Now He's about to tell me what I need to do. Just tell me what I have to do. No. How do you show off? How do you reveal the love of God? Okay. You do it by experiencing, by receiving the love of God for you all the more. And then it's supernatural. It just happens. The love of God oozes out of you. The love of God is displayed in you and through you, from you, because you are receiving the love of God for yourself. Okay? It has to. Why else would you be sent? See? He places in you what He wants to deliver, and then He sends you to deliver it. Now, what if it's not? I mean, what if the love of God is not coming out of you? What if it's stuck or something? Well, it truly could be that you're really not a Christian. Examine yourself. Okay. Do I love people for me? I just love people because I want them to love me back. I want them to think that I'm a good person. I want everybody else to call me a good person. I want to be good. And I want to love people and demonstrate that in that way. And what are you doing? You are building up your own report card. Okay? You're making the grades yourself so that you can show off of what other people think of you so that God will welcome you in one day. See? That's your own record. That's the world's way. When Jesus says, no, I'm the perfect human. I'm the one who has fulfilled all of God's requirements to love perfectly. And you can have my record by faith and repentance. Jesus's record is all that we have to depend on. So embrace His record by faith and turn away from your own. See? And for Christians, the love of God can get clogged up in you. What I mean is you can become just a sponge and not squeezing it out. And it could be that maybe you're just resistant to where God has sent you. And you have fallen for the greener grass conspiracy. You know, that somehow, some way, everything's better over there, not where I am. I remember a clear just line of God delivering me out of not loving people. We knew that God had sent us to Monroeville when I was pastoring there for 10 years. And I knew that God had sent us, but I didn't like it. And I was having a very hard time adapting to the culture. And I remember a particular moment of just wrestling, and God, it seemed to me finally, you know, it was a long season for me, of him enabling me to realize that he had sent me for a good reason to this place. And once my soul finally became contented with that, resting in that, then it was everything changed as far as my attitude, as far as my ability to really accept people where they were, to love people where they were, and just love them. It doesn't sound that hard, but it is. You know, it is. But what does God do? He answers, okay? He sends us. And of course, what does he send us with? He sends us with the word, okay? I have given them your word, okay? That's all that we have to give, all that we have to give. Not just being lovey-dovey Christians, not just being sweet and kind and southern, ugh. You know, no. Being given to the world with the gift of the word. We spent some time, the Mercy team did last week with Alton Hardy over in Fairfield with Urban Hope Community Church, and he was talking to us about how good of a relationship they have with the Fairfield city government, the superintendent of the schools and the mayor and the city council. They love the fact that church and Alton and his family are being involved in the community because they don't know what to do. Okay, they have so many problems, so many issues, so many concerns that they've tried everything. The federal government money and the school money and the, you know, and they know, see, the world knows that the church really is hope. The church is the only hope for the world. And so Alton is just struggling, of course, and sharing with us how slow it is, how hard it is, of course. Because then it makes him, it makes the church, it makes us depend on God instead of on us. Of course, it's slow. Some of you know the song by the band 21 Pilots called Heathens. All my friends are heathens. Take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse. They go on to say, you'll never know the psychopath sitting next to you or the murderer sitting next to you. You'll have some weird people sitting next to you. You'll think to yourself, how did I get here sitting next to you? Now, these guys are professing Christians. And they're using this stark language, heathens and psychopath and murderers, to wake the church up to who people are. To what their status is before the judge of all the universe. People aren't just, oh, they're okay, they're just getting by. No. The people in your world that God has sent you to, some of them don't know Christ yet. And do we even care? Do we even care where they're going apart from Christ? So yes, do take it slow. Befriend people and take it slow, but please take it. You know, take the word to the world and to your world. And we are not of the world. Jesus is pointing this out. We are different. We're supposed to be recognizably different. We have values that are not the world's values. Our allegiance is not to this kingdom, to this world. We're sent into the world. We're citizens of another country. All these things that you know. But some of you are too comfortable because you are not in the world enough. Of course the world is a scary place. It has been a scary place ever since Adam and Eve sinned. heaven has invaded. Okay? Heaven, the kingdom of God is growing, but this is not heaven yet. Some of you want to pretend that it is. Okay? This is not heaven. But you are still here. That's why God left us here. And you are sent wherever you are sent as his ambassador. So we are the called out ones, the sent ones, and the united ones. The church, of course, is the hope for the world, because we have been given the word, we've been given the love of God, so we should and we must strive for unity. Okay? Remember, you even make this, those of you that are members, you make this as a vow that you will strive to protect the peace and purity of the church. Okay? Now, is that an easy thing? No. But Jesus prays for this. It's a big part of this section of his prayer, that they will be one, that they will be perfectly one, that they will be united. And so we hold with all of our might, and we hold tightly to the essential truths of the gospel. It's one reason why we're looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith as a whole church body. You know, we look at these summary truths, and we hold them tightly. Okay? And we strive then to maintain unity within the boundaries of truth. Now, why do we have 7,000 plus denominations? I do not know. But I do know that Jesus means for unity, Orthodox Christian unity, to be a measuring stick for the world to look on the church and say, is that really for real or not? Why does he say? I mean, what does he say? Jesus says, I have sent them so that the world will know. So that the world will know what? That the church is wonderful and the church is awesome and they should get all this? No. Okay. No, so that the world may know that Jesus is real and know that you are loved. See that? That you are loved, that you are accepted, that you are welcomed. See, and here's where the power comes in. Here's where the power comes in to live this out as far as being sent, because of who you are. Now, some of you medical people will set me straight on this, but you know when you get a booster shot, and it's a vial, and then you shoot it into your body, or they shoot it into your body. It's a mix of different drugs within that vial, okay? And then when you're given a shot, you're inoculated, right? You're immunized, okay? Well, look at what Jesus is centering in on of what we have received, these three things that empower us, okay? You've been given these three things. First, you're given this prayer of power, which unites us, which ties us in with Trinitarian supernatural power. Okay? Jesus is praying for us. He is interceding even now, right? Okay? Then you have been given the word, verse 14 and verse 20. I have given them your word, this gift. And then verse 23, you have been given the love of God. You are receiving it. Okay? You've been given it. So you are shot through with the love of God, with the Trinitarian supernatural power of prayer, and the sword of God's word. You are given these things. You are tapped into to his power. Now, what does that do for you? Okay, three things. What does it do for you? Fearlessness, riskiness, and ruthlessness. Fearlessness. When you know who you are, what you have been given, what you are receiving, what you are tapped into, it makes you fearless. Satan hates me. The world hates me. People don't like me. So what? I have the love of God. I am tapped into his power. He loves me. Do you remember at the end of 1 Corinthians 15 when Paul is talking about the glories of the resurrection, and at the very last verse, he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, let nothing move you. be immovable. He's meaning nothing can affect you. Nothing can set you off of God's mission for your life. Nothing. Be fearless. Then riskiness. Okay. As you are inoculated, you're immunized, you are empowered by what God has given you in the word and prayer and the love of God, you can take risks. You take risks to love people. You live a life of loving others simply by loving others. I don't know how to make it any more simple than that. You take risks, though, to do it. And you see how God develops in you courage to do it. And it can be as simple as asking questions. The power of asking questions. Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, how are you really doing? When you have time, when you've got a minute, when you demonstrate that you care. How are you really doing? I have an atheist friend who... I have a friend who has an atheist friend, and he asked him, so what do you think Christianity is? You know, in the course of the relationship, of course, in the course of the friendship. Okay. And this, I have to ask this. Do you have any non-Christian friends? Do you have space in your margins? Can you befriend heathens and just be their friend without an agenda and let God send you? See? Let the love of God ooze out of you into their lives however he does it. Okay, this enables you, this power gives you fearlessness, riskiness, last, ruthlessness. Okay? You know what you have. You know what you have been given, so you do everything to protect it, right? Like a protective father, like a grizzly bear mama protects what they have, right? You are ruthless then against sin. Okay? Because your sin to you feels like a big, huge log in your eye, and you can't see. And the sin in other people's lives is, like Jesus says, a speck to you. Okay? So you are ruthless to protect yourself and to protect the church against evil. So what does that look like? You don't allow yourself to indulge in anger, in fear, in worry, in jealousy, in lust. Okay? Because these things bring disunity. So don't go there. Be ruthless against those things. But it's way more than that. You are ruthless against sin because you know who you are and what you have been given. Okay? Perfect love drives out fear and enables you to have bold courage. And Satan, of course, knows who you are. So why does he attack us so relentlessly? Ha! But you are inoculated, right? You have been shot through with the love of God, with the power of prayer and with the gift of his word. See, you are free from fear of death, fear of harm. The flame will not hurt you. I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine, right? Now, you don't go out there and say, okay, evil, bring it on. No. But you do go out in confidence to wherever you are sent, right? You go out in confidence to wherever God has placed you, knowing that you have the armor of God on and you have the sword ready. As John would later write then, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. And as you experience that love, as it overflows over you and in you and through you, you soak it up, yes, but then it squeezes out. It squeezes out to wherever God sends you. Oh, Lord, then help us to receive then from you and to receive that great empowering love that the world will know who we are, that the world will see the Lord Jesus in us, that you will equip us to be bold and courageous wherever you choose to send us. God, that we would be eager then to love others because of your great abiding.